Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning. We hope all of you are having a good week. We had a busy week this week. It seems like we had several people in the hospital, and then we had our men's retreat this weekend. But it's been a great week for the Lord, and we just thank Him for this opportunity once again to be with you this morning. And so we want to go to the Lord and pray for you this morning, and then we'll get right into our words. Let's do pray. Father, what a joy it is to be here in your house this morning. What a joy it is to be able to share your word, Lord, over this radio station. Lord, we thank you for those that listen so faithfully. We pray for those that are shut in and not able to get out and go to the church of their choice. So, Lord, we just pray that you comfort them and strengthen them there in their homes. We pray for those that may be sick this morning and not able to get up and go. We pray that, Lord, that you'll restore them and heal them, that they'll soon be back in your house. For those that are traveling, listening in their cars, then, Lord, we just pray that you just give them safe journey. Lord, we've seen so many accidents and problems this week, Lord, and we just pray for their safe journey to and from today. But we just ask you, Lord, to fill me with your Spirit. Allow your Holy Spirit to move amongst those people wherever they're at home or in their car or traveling, wherever they may be. Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit can cross any boundary this morning and minister to any need, and Lord, can save any soul. So we thank you for that today. So cleanse me of my sin and my unrighteousness. Make me a vessel you can speak through this morning, Lord, as we give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it all. Once again, begging forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right, this morning I hope you enjoyed the last 2 weeks. I know I had to break that sermon down into two parts. I hope you were able to hear both sermons, Sundays, so that you could get the whole thing. But this morning, you know, we have so much going on around us in the world right now with what's happening with Israel and with Hamas and the war that's broken out there, where we see our nation, you know, trying to decide what to do, how much to do, saying we're going to back Israel. And Lord, I hope we do. I hope we don't change our minds, because the Bible plainly said that every who curses Israel will be cursed, and every who blesses Israel will be blessed. That God will bless the world because of Israel. There's been so many different things that have come out of Israel that has blessed the world. I don't want to get off in that this morning, but we really want to think about this morning about what all is going on, and kind of what does that mean to us? What does that have to do with us today, what we see going on between Hamas and Israel and Iran and Lebanon and Turkey and all these different places, as we see them, it seems like pausing for war. It seems like that's what we see is going to happen, not a greater war than what's just going on. We've been seeing the Ukraine and Russia war. But this morning we're going to read from Luke chapter 21, and we're going to read verses 19 through 28. Luke chapter 21, beginning with verse 19 through 28, as we think about destruction and redemption draweth nigh. Destruction and redemption draweth nigh. So let's read, if you will, Luke chapter 21, beginning with verse 19. And it says, "And your patience possess your souls. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then you know that desolation thereof is nigh. Let them that which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of the depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, and all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in the days. And there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down in the Gentiles, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and the moon, and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." You know, this morning, as we do look around, as we think about all the different things that we see happening around the world today, and especially there with Israel and with Hamas and the Palestinians and everything that has happened. We see that here Jesus was talking about in that day and time the destruction of Jerusalem. Now we know that Jerusalem, the temple, had been destroyed about three times or so. We know that they've been through a lot of different problems. But he says when you see the armies compass around Jerusalem, then you know that what? Destruction, desolation is coming. You see those signs. But he said, you better be careful, you know, get out of the cities, dude. Get out of those. You know, when I read that, I think about what was going on there in Gaza. I think about watching the people flee and trying to get to safety and trying to get here and there. I think about the children. It says, woe unto the ones who have children and those that still have babies, you know, that are still sucking. He said, you know, woe unto these people, you know, if you're out of the city, don't come to the city. You know, get out. And we see all of these things happening and taking place right now in Israel, in Gaza, and what's going on with all of these. We see all of these armies. We see Turkey getting into it. We see Lebanon getting into it. Iran has been into it, and they will continue to be into it. But he says, when you see these things happen, don't worry. Keep looking up, because what? Jesus is coming. The Son of Man is coming in the cloud with great power. So he says, what? Lift your heads and look up, because as desolation is nigh, redemption is drawing nigh. You know, as I tell people all the time, as we talk about what's going on the world front right now, I tell people all the time, I said, you just see the Bible unfolding before your eyes. You see exactly what God has told us in His Word. The prophets have told us that things that were going to happen, it's going to happen just like it's going to, like He said it would. And so we might as well just get ready, because things are not falling apart. You've heard me say it a lot of times. Things are falling together, falling into place, and things are getting ready. When you know, when you think about Israel and you think about the Jewish people, have you ever seen such a people that the world hated? Have you ever seen such a people that so many people wanted to destroy? I mean, you go back to Esther and you see where Haman, you know, he wanted to destroy the people. And Esther, you know, we love the quote from Esther that she was born for such a time as that, to go before the king. And we see how that Herod tried to kill the Jews. He did everything that he could. He would light up the garden, you know, with their bodies, setting their bodies on fire. Herod, you know, was so a wicked man. You talk about killing babies. He would kill the babies and do these things. We see you bring it on up to today. Hitler and Germany tried to extinguish the Jewish people. He thought they were just inferior race, and he wanted to do away with all the Jewish people, and he did everything that he could to kill them. And then we see Hamas today. Isn't it amazing they all started with H, and I didn't plan that. But you have Haman, you have Herod, you have Hitler, you have Hamas. Everybody has tried to kill all the Jews. And listen to me, it all boils down to Satan himself. The Jewish people were the people that God would take and bring His Savior out of that lineage. And so we know that Satan has been trying to kill off the Jewish people, and he has used his people here on this earth, the evil people of this earth, to try to do it. Hamas is nothing but evil. They are a evil, heathen group of people, and they do not respect any kind of life. And brothers and sisters, the only thing they do understand is death and war. And so we see they have been trying with Haman, Herod, Hitler, and Hamas to exterminate the Israelites, the Christian, the Jewish people. But guess what? Where is Haman? What happened to him? Where is Herod? What happened to him? Where is Hitler? What happened to him? And what's going to happen to Hamas? Where are the Jewish people? They're still here. There's been a lot of Jews. There's been a lot of death amongst the Jewish people. They have been sent off into captivity many times. They have been slaves. They have been in prison. But brothers and sisters, they are still here. Why? Because they are God's people. He chose them. So when we look back and we look forward, then we have to look at the desolation that we saw. But we got to understand that redemption is coming. That redemption draweth nigh. And we need to have our eyes open. So let's look at about four things that I think we need to think about this morning in these verses as we think about what's going on right now. We want to look at the Jewish people in their beginning, the Israelite nation. How did it begin? We want to look at what was their purpose, and then we're going to look at the problem. Where did all this problem begin? Where did this hatred of the Israelite people all begin? And then we're going to look at the promise that we know that God has given them. And as we look at that, as compared to us today as Christian people. So let's look first of all at their beginning. You know, I have been listening to our commentators and then our news and stuff, and it amazes me how wrong they can get things, you know. How wrong they can get things. You know, they keep talking about, well, Israel's been a nation. It's been a nation for 75 years. Isn't that amazing? It's been a nation for 75 years. Since 1948, we know that they were giving this land. And that's another thing that really blows my mind. You know, as they talk about how that they said, you know, well, every people needs their own land. And so, you know, Israel, we're going to allow them to have, the Jewish people to have this Israel. And, you know, we wonder about, well, is this where they began 75 years ago? Did they begin with NATO or Arabia or the UN or America? Somebody, you know, decided, well, we better come together and give them a land, because every group of people begin need a piece of property. Well, that's what they're saying about the Palestinians, you know. That's the reason they have Gaza, that we've given them Gaza, because every people needs a piece of land. But let me tell you something. There's a lot of difference between every people needs a piece of land than what happened to the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. Where in the world did it come from? How in the world did it begin? Where did it start from? Well, I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that the media is wrong. It didn't start 75 years ago. It started more like 3,000 years ago, kind of 1,000 years before Jesus came. And brothers and sisters, we need to understand that the Israelite nation was a nation that was promised a land by God. By God. Not any other nation has he promised a land to. It was their land because God gave it to them. Now, when you're living in a heathen world, when you're living in around a bunch of heathen people, guess what? They don't see that because they don't believe in God. They don't believe in his Bible. But brothers and sisters, it was God. We go back to Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying unto him, thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river Euphrates. And we know that he made that promise with Abraham. He promised Abraham, you would be a father of a great nation. I've chosen you. He brought him out from his people. He told him to go into a land that I'm going to promise you. We know that Moses led him out of Egypt after those 400 something years in Egypt in captivity to that promised land that God promised them. Not the UN, not NATO, not even great America itself, brothers and sisters, but Almighty God started the nation of Israel through the Jewish people, through Abraham. And they called him Abraham, my father. And he promised them land from what? The great river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates, and all that land and that promised land in which he gave them. Now, when you start saying, well, Israel don't get this, and this is not Israel's, and Israel don't belong to this, and they fight over the Temple Mount and all these kind of things, listen to me. God gave it to them. God gave it to them. You're going to try to take away something God gave to them? God gave it to them. And they began over 3,000 years ago, not just 75 years. They've been here a whole lot longer than America's been here, folks. You hear me? They've been here on this world a whole lot longer than we've been here. And we need to understand that as we see everything unfolding in the world. Well, let's think about, well, what was their purpose? Why did God do this? Why did he do that? Why did he give them that? What was the whole purpose for them to do that? Well, we find in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9, he says, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are in the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were what? The fewest of all the people. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of a bondman, and that you are what? You have been set free from Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And we know when we look at this and when we see what God does, we see that God, the Lord thy God, he is a faithful God. And he keeps his promises to them. But we see that the thing is that their purpose was to do what? To glorify God. To be a holy people unto the Lord. To be a people that God had chosen, that they were the fewest people out of the world. They were the fewest of a nation. And for that reason, he was going to take this small nation and he was going to prove to the world that he is God. See, there's a whole lot of other gods. Egypt had so many gods. Greek had so many gods. All these other nations, they had all these other gods that they worshiped, that they saw. And so God says, I'm going to take this little bitty nation. Have you ever, we've been watching on the map. They've been showing us the map of Israel and Gaza and all this. Can you believe that, that Israel is such a small nation? Isn't that amazing? But yet they well such great power in the world today to be such a little nation. Now, how in the world does that happen? It's because God chose them for that purpose. God says, I'm going to prove to the world that I am God. And I'm going to make me a holy nation. I'm going to choose me a special people, not because they're powerful, not because there's a lot of them, but I'm going to take them and I'm going to show them that I am a faithful God. I'm going to bring them out. I'm going to make them that nation. And so that's the reason he did that. He said, I don't want you to have a lot. I don't want you to be able to go and conquer all these other nations and because you're so much bigger than everybody else. He says, I want people to say, how did that happen? You remember last week? You know, that just can't happen. How did a little old nation like Israel, how did that happen? How can that happen? You know, he took this little old nation and he made them unto a great nation, not in size, not in number, but because they serve a great God. And he has proven that through history. Yes, they've been in exile. Yes, they've been scattered. Yes, they've been in bondage, but because they wouldn't believe God, they wouldn't follow God, they wouldn't keep God's commandments. But God kept a remnant of them. God gave them their land, and he continues to prove unto them. You know, we as Christian people, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that we are a chosen generation. We are a holy priesthood. We are to be what? A nation of the priesthood of people. We're supposed to be holy because of God. It uses the word peculiar. We are to be a peculiar people, a peculiar nation, a holy nation, because God has chosen us as Christian people. You know, we as Christian people are really the people of God today. And we'll get into that a little bit further on when we look at this. But their purpose was to honor God, to love him, to obey him, to prove to the world that God could use this little bitty nation to prove to the world, yes, I am God. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Keep looking up. Keep watching what's happening. God's going to take this small nation and he's going to prove to the world, hey, the God of Israel is the true God. And he's done it time and time and time again. And he will continue to do it time and time and time again, proving that, yes, he is the God of all gods, the one and true Almighty God. All right, well, then let's look. Well, where in the problem? Where did this problem, this so hatred of them come from? Why does all those Middle East people hate the Israelite people so much? Where in the world did all of this come from? Where did the problem first start? Why is there such hatred between the Palestinians and the Jews? How did it all start? Well, it all started back with God's promise to Abram and Sarah. When God told, I'm going to call him Abraham because that's what I used to call him after God changed his name. But you know, when God told Abraham that, hey, you're going to be the father of a great nation, and we talked about this last week, that Abraham said, you know, how can that happen? I'm an old man. I'm 100 years old. My wife's 90. She's past a childbearing age. And God told him, said, what? Is there anything too hard for me? There in Genesis chapter 18, I believe around verse 13 and 14. Is there anything too hard for me? Anything that I can't do? Well, poor Abraham thought it was. You know, it's kind of like Adam and Eve. You know, God put Adam and Eve here on the face of the earth to begin a great race of people, a great nation for him, to come, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth up with people. And God had made heaven here on earth. Isn't that amazing? It was going to be heaven here on earth. And what did Adam do? He was disobedient to God. Him and Eve disobeyed God. Well, Abraham, it wasn't so much the disobedience, but he didn't have enough faith in God. He didn't think God could do what God said he could do. And we know that Sarah, she got antsy, and Abraham, and so Sarah said, I'm not going to be able to have a child. But God, even though God had told him, you're going to have a child, is there anything too hard to me? So what does Sarah do? She gives Abraham Hagar, her bondwoman, her servant. And so Abraham goes into her, and she has a son named Ishmael. And then when that happened, boy, you'd think everything would be good, that would be his heir, because the son would become Sarah's son, and she could do that. But guess what? Then Sarah has Isaac. She has Isaac, just like God promised. God keeps his promises. And so when Sarah has Isaac, then she gets jealous of Hagar and Ishmael, and so she tells Abraham, you need to get rid of them. Send them off. I don't want them around here. They make me look bad. Get rid of them. And God said that he would remember Ishmael, but Ishmael would be a what? A servant to all people. Ishmael would be what? He would be a vagabond. He would go from place to place. And we know that from that time on, that Ishmael and Isaac were at odds with each other. That is where the problem all began, was because Abraham did not trust God. He did not have enough faith to believe that God was going to be able to do what he said he could do, and that they would have a child. And for that reason, we have that fighting, and there are wars and rumors of wars. They're constantly fighting with one another day in and day out. There's that constant fighting that's going on. And even when you go back to Ezekiel chapter 37 and through chapters 39, and you read about Gog and Magog, who are they? Who are they? It says they're going to come down from the north upon Israel. Who are these people? Well, it's Russia and it's Iran and these other countries that are around. That's Gog and Magog. When you look back and you study the prophecy about what's going to happen in the battle there, it's all because of what happened here. It says in that Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 11, it talked about how that they're going to think evil, and they're going to go in and attack the innocent, and they're going to attack those that can't defend themselves, those without walled cities. And I thought about that, how that they attacked, how Hamas attacked the other day in Israel and went into people having a musical thing. They was having a concert. That's the word I'm looking for. They were having a concert. They go in and kill all these unarmed people. They go into people's homes. They kill children and women. And he said, they just think evil. He said, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. It's going to be Russia. It's going to be Iran. It's going to be these others that are there, that Gog and that Magog. But you see, it all began back with old Ishmael, and it began back there with him and Isaac. Look with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 4. Look in verse 22 there through verse 31. It says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one of a bondwoman and the other of a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but of the free woman was the promise, which things are an allegory for these that are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai that which genereth to bondage, and Hagar, for it is Hagar in Mount Sinai and Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is and is a bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travelest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be the heir with the son of the freed woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So look at this allegory that he gives us here. Look what he's talking about. He's talking about these two children. He's talking about the problem that I just got through sharing with you that took place because of what Abraham and Sarah did. So it all began because what? One son was born of a bondwoman, a slave. One was born of a free woman, which is Hagar and Sarah. Sarah being the free, the other one the bondwoman. One was born out of nothing but flesh, just a fleshly desire. One was born because it was the promise of Almighty God. One was out of the flesh, one was out of the spirit. And it says what? It says, for that reason, the flesh persecutes the spirit. And the ones that came out of Sinai, which was a covenant that came out of bondage, the other one came out of Jerusalem, which is out of that freedom that we have. And these two have been fighting one another ever since. But he says, we as Christian people. So here Paul is writing to the church of Galatia, and he's talking about the allegory of us as Christian people. That we that are the children of God, that we came out of what? We are children of the promise. We came out of the promise. We came out of the spirit. We came out of the free, not out of bondage, not out of the flesh, and not out of these that are persecuting, but we are of the free one, not of the bond woman. And so he says, you can see just the difference between the two and why there's a problem. Well, that problem still exists today. You still have the bond woman, you still have the free woman. You still have them in conflict with one another. And brothers and sisters, I don't care what you do, there will not be peace in the Middle East till Jesus comes again. Leap your eyes open, keep them looking up, for redemption draweth nigh. Desolation is nigh. Desolation is here. But we know when these things happen, we keep looking up because redemption draweth nigh. And because of that redemption, it brings us to the last thing. We know that we have that redemption because of the promise. The promise that God made. In Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 17, he says, therefore, say thus, saith the Lord God, that I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of all the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. God promises them that he's going to gather them up. Listen, they've been gathered. They've been gathered ever since 1948. They've been gathered. And there's been a great influx of Jewish people moving back into Israel before this controversy happened. Over the last several years, if you read what's going on, there's a big influx of the Jewish people coming back to Israel, coming back to Jerusalem. It's all coming together, brothers and sisters. We see the desolation. Desolation draweth nigh. But God promises that remnant. He promises that he's going to set it all straight one day. And we need to keep our eyes looking up because Jesus is coming, because redemption draweth nigh. Paul said it to the Romans like this in Romans chapter 2, verse 29. But he that is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that is the heart of the Spirit, and not of the letter, whose praise is not unto men, but unto God. In other words, what he's saying here, he says, but a Jew is not just one that is outwardly. He is one that is inwardly. Not just one of circumcision. Not just because you've been born of a Jew. Not just because you've gone through the letters of the law and performed the law and kept the law. He says you are a Jew now because of their heart. In other words, you are God's people. You are God's people. He is our God and we are his people. He has chosen us to be his people by allowing his son, Jesus, to come and pay the price for our sins, to die on that cross, to set us free from the bondage of sin. Just as the Israelite people were set free from Egypt, just as they've been set free from all the bondage and the captivities that they've ever been in, God has always set them free. He has always kept a remnant. Brothers and sisters, we are going to be set free one day. All this is just a picture, just a reflection of what he has done in us. When we see the problems of sin, when we see when we try to replace the spirit with the flesh, when we try to forget our purpose, that our purpose is to honor God and to praise him and to glorify him as Christian people, that's why Jesus died on the cross, not just so we can have salvation, that's the reason we have it, but that we can be God's people, that we can honor him and glorify him and praise him in this world that we live in. He says, desolation, you see it everywhere. And as you see the desolation, you see the destruction that's taking place, be looking up. Be looking up. Keep your eyes open. Look up. Because our redemption draweth nigh. And our redemption is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So once again, all this that we see happening right now, brothers and sisters, we ought to be looking up. Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. Are you that Jew that is a Jew within? I mean, you know, I don't have any Jewish blood that I know of in me, but I do have the blood of Jesus, which is washed over me. And for that reason, I am a child of God. I am a part of that chosen generation. I am a part of that peculiar people, that priest to the believers. I am one of those that I'm looking up because I know my redemption draweth nigh. What about you this morning? Do you know Jesus? Do you know him as your Savior? Just as God kept his promise to the Israelite people and continues to keep it, and he will continue to keep it, he keeps his promises to us today of eternal life. Accept it today, won't you? Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these that have listened so tenderly this morning. And Lord, I just pray this morning that we will keep our eyes open, that we'll keep looking up, that we know, Lord, that our redemption does draw nigh, Lord. So speak to our hearts now. If there's one that does not know you, help them to see you're coming. You're coming soon. All this we see around us just proves that your word is true. So lead us to you this morning, Lord. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.